Welcome to Believe. I'm Claudia Suarez, and definitely you know that here we find your truth. You know, we want you to succeed, and Believe is there for you. We have beautiful topics on our website, which is money and business, true success, health and wellness, world news, our universe, and definitely we always have interviews all the time that you can listen to on our YouTube channel and also on iTunes. You could check us out on iTunes, believeiTunes.com, and also our website, www.believe.love. And YouTube.com, Believe Loves You, and Android users, BelieveAndroid.com. So you can check us all over, and you'll see beautiful interviews. And right today, as you can see in the background behind me, we have a wonderful, exciting person that I'm going to be interviewing for you, Alisa Dare Nelson, which she's a certified strength coach, author, podcaster, and speaker. You don't know how much you're going to get out of this interview. She helps business owners, CEOs, and leadership teams develop their natural strengths and overcome limited beliefs by focusing on and developing their strengths. Her clients learn how to catalyze their businesses, better personal relationships, and start a living and happier lifestyle. This is what our coach is doing for so many people. Alisa, welcome to our show. How are you?
Oh, Claudia, thank you so much. It's such an honor to be here. I'm so excited for this conversation.
Oh, well, I am excited to have you too, Alisa, because you know what? One of the things that really impressed me about you is your values. You know, you talk about, you know, the number one is God, health, family, integrity, empowering others, compassion, growth, providing for the family, which is so important, financial success, and quality time and joy. You know, that really impressed me in your website because, you know, most people don't really think too much about all those things, and yet they're so important, you know?
Yeah. You know, what's super interesting is when I first sat down to do what I call a values exercise, which I actually walk people through in my book, I found that when I was really honest with myself, my priorities were not in this order. My values were not in this order. And so that's why at the end of the day, when I put my head on the pillow, like things didn't feel right. You know, I didn't feel like I was successful because I was putting more time and energy into values that were really, were still important, but further down the list. And so when I went through that and I realized, you know, my children are important to me, but they can't be my number one value. They can't be the number one thing because there's all these other things. If I'm not my best me, if I'm not taking care of myself spiritually, if I'm not putting everything into my marriage, guess what? I can't be the best mom. And so I had to fix that and figure it out so that everything was in line. And now I can put my head on the pillow at night. And of course, I never get enough done, right? There's always more that could be done. But I feel good about what I did get done and where I did put my time and energy.
Well, let me tell you, I am just wondering, this is one of my, you know, key questions. How did it all start for you? Because, you know, here you are involved in gymnastics, you're a clinical dietitian, and all of a sudden you turn out into being a coach and being, you know, an author, a podcaster, a speaker. How did it all start for me? What clicked? What was... You know,
oh man, what a journey. What a journey. One of my favorite books is The Alchemist, and the reason is the journey. It's how I was able to really embrace my own journey. Because after I was a dietitian, then I became a registered nurse. Like, I have two degrees here, and now I'm working not in healthcare at all, right? So, it's just like, how does that even happen? And I grew up, you know, being very achievement driven, but then always not feeling like those achievements were good enough. And so, while on the outside, I looked really well put together, I had a very low self-esteem. I didn't think I was good enough. And so I found myself in the midst of a divorce and really had to get real with myself about, well, this was the path I was supposed to take, and I'm not succeeding. You know, I'm now failing at marriage. And you know, things aren't right here. So I had to dive in to figure out what is right with me and how can I heal and how can I move forward and how can I really be the best me? Because I also heard most of my life, well, you have such great potential. And I'm like, where is it? Where is this potential you guys are talking about? And now I'm finally beginning to live that out. And it really starts with getting real with yourself and going, why am I here? And what is it that will make me happy? Where are my values? And it's hard work. Personal development is really, really hard work.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of my biggest questions, did this happen, all this development in your life, did it happen after your divorce and then your new marriage? Because I know you're married again, which you need to tell us about that too. But how did it all begin? Did it begin after you got married again or right before you got married again?
It's so interesting because as I look back, I can see where the seeds of it were. When I was a gymnast, even at age 10, 11, 12, my coaches would say, you're the leader of this team. When there was girls on my team that were substantially older than me, but they saw me with that leadership. I don't even want to call it skill because it wasn't skilled at that time. Mm-hmm. And then my parents got frustrated with me when I was 16 because I was rebellious and I always questioned the rules and all of those things. And they sent me to a Zig Ziglar conference.
Oh, wow.
So I'm sure many of your viewers, listeners, you know,
yes,
people know who Zig Ziglar is, right? He's like the most epic of motivational speakers. Mm-hmm. And I was really transformed by his message. And I thought, someday I wish I could be like that.
Wow.
And then I put it all away and I followed the path that I thought I was supposed to, you know, went to college, got a good degree, bought a house, got a career, had kids, marriage, the whole kit and caboodle. And I had to kind of come back to it and go, wait a second. I think that was something. Right. So it started back when I was 16, going to a Zig Ziglar conference all by myself because my parents just wanted me to, like, praying that something would help this rebellious girl. And now here I am, you know, much, much later going, oh, that's actually what I'm doing, like getting on a stage and helping people to really seek out their best them and help them understand what that is. So it's kind of a neat sort of full circle.
Wow.
I'm
impressed. I mean, most people, you know, think it's easy to do what you're doing, but I'm sure it's taken a long time to develop to the person that you are today, especially, you know, most people think, oh, I want to do this and try to do what you're doing. But I mean, what are the steps? I know to be successful, I know you coach CEOs and you coach people, but did it take a long time where it actually developed, you know, into a business to where you started making money with this?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. So when I first started, I decided that I wanted to be a coach, that I was mm-hmm. already sort of doing this anyway. Post nursing, I went into direct sales, which was not the right path for me, but taught me lots of lessons the hard way. And I sought out coaches during that mm-hmm. time of my life. And I was like, wow, like this person's helping me understand myself better. And I read a ton of books. And so I sort of got, street education with all of that and hiring my own coaches and learning what resonated with me and what didn't. And when I found the StrengthsFinder profile, that is when I was like, I need a certification in this. Like, I need a legit education here. And so I took a 30-week long certification on the StrengthsFinder profile because it wasn't enough just to be able to spout somebody's strength themes. I wanted to teach them really truly how to apply them and how to make them transformational. And so education, I think, is a good part of that, is a big part of that. There are no, and I think it's coming soon, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but there are no restrictions on who can call themselves a coach. So you could, you know, decide today that I'm going to be a coach, and tomorrow you could put it on a business card and go be a coach. I wanted to make sure that I could actually help people, not just because I'd hired a bunch of coaches before, but because I had something that I had educated myself on and been through to learn how to ask really good questions, to really be able to pull the best of people out of them. Because that's what a great coach does, is a coach doesn't necessarily come in and train and tell you this is what you're going to do. That's what mm-hmm. a consultant does, a strategist mm-hmm. does, mm-hmm. a trainer does. Mm-hmm. But a coach will yank it out of you. And that is a skill.
Okay. So this is what a coach actually does. I mean, you as a coach, and of course you help CEOs and all that. What are the steps that you take to help people? I mean, do you approach them first, or how do you get your clients, by the way? I mean, how do you approach them, and how do you lead them into that success?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, people come from a lot of different paths. The first couple of years of my business, I built completely in person, going to networking events and connecting with people one-on-one. Okay. And then I ventured into the online space, which is very different. You know, starting a conversation with someone online is much, much different than approaching them in person. And I had to learn how to do that because that had always come naturally to me. I could walk up to, you know, anybody and start a conversation, but doing that online is a very different skill. So I had to learn some things about online marketing. And I did decide to do a lot of podcast guesting to help get my word out. And so I also had to figure out what shows is my person in the audience of, and, you know, not just throwing spaghetti at a wall and just going, I'm going to be on any show that will take me, really vetting those shows that not only approached me, but that I approached to make sure that I could be of value. So, in the online space, especially, it's leading with that value and helping them to see, who I am, see my personality, see my heart, and then give them an aha that goes, ah, I want to hear more about her, right? And so that gives them the reason to reach out and say, I think I'd like to have a conversation. And so then that's what we do. We have a 30-minute conversation to see, you know, where are you? And what are we a good fit to work together? Do I believe I can help you to reach your goals? And do you also believe that? So we're really interviewing each other in that session. And the best part, and this is something if you're in sales that I would really encourage you to do, is to be really unattached to the outcome. The only thing that I care about out of that 30-minute conversation is that person has made the right decision for them at that time of their lives. And if that right decision is it's not a good fit for us to work together on my part or their part, then that is the best thing. And so I can leave happy from the conversation, regardless of whether that person becomes a client or not. And that's what I believe is if it's the best thing for them to walk away or for me to say, hey, I'm not the coach to help you with this, but there's this other coach who can help specifically with this, or there's this consultant that I really think you should talk to. I'm happy to send people in a different direction because I don't want their money. I want their transformation.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. It's a busy wife. You know, you're a mother, a business owner. What was the process of writing your first book like you for you? I mean, because I know you have this beautiful book and you got to tell us about it. I mean, how do you do it all?
Oh my goodness. So I equate writing your first book with having your first child. Like this really great idea. And then you're like, oh yeah, well, I mean, millions of people have done this. I can do this too. And then you sit down, you commit to it. And suddenly you're like puking your guts out. Right. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is so hard. And you can't really go back on it. Cause you know, the way I do accountability is I really put it out there. So I put it out there to my podcast audience. I put it out there, you know, and in some Facebook groups that I'm a part of that will keep me accountable. Like I'm doing this. And then I was like, I can't not do it now. And then I kind of hit my stride with the content of the book. And then you finish it up and you think you're just about there. Mm-hmm. And it gets really hard right there at the end when you're doing all the last minute edits and, you know, the third round of
editing.
How
long did it take?
You know, I was really blessed. It actually took me about 6 months end to end from the time that I was like, I think I'm going to do this to actually holding it in my hand and having it published. And I did self-publish. I learned a lot about self-publishing and the do's and the don'ts. So if you want to know about some of the do's and the don'ts, I can certainly talk about that. But I didn't even have a budget for this. I mean, this is how most first-time parents go into parenting. Like, well, yeah, sure, diapers are going to cost something, but it'll be fine. And then you're like, oh, you know, it's so... so much more expensive than you think. And then this little draft book, you know, comes in the mail and I'm like, it's so much smaller than I thought it would be. Like, this was so painful and it's so small. And intentionally, I mean, we cut about a fourth to a third of the book out, because I didn't want it to be fluff and superfluous. I wanted people to be able to read the book, get all the value out of it, and that it would be really packed, but that it wouldn't take them, you know, 14 years to read through it.
I love the title. From frustrated to freaking awesome, 4 steps to achieve the success you're wired for. What did you want to mean by that? Because I think most people can relate to it, right? We get so frustrated with our lives that we don't know what direction to take. I'm one of them. You go this direction, what direction, you know? And sometimes we give up trying. Yeah. Because it is frustrating, like you said. But then now you say it can be awesome once you make it, right? Is that what you're meaning?
Right. And at every turn, it can be more awesome. So I outline this freaking awesome process in the book. And I encourage people to go back to it every quarter. And I will admit, I mean, and I admitted it in the book, like, I'm not always perfect with this either, you guys. Like, you know, sometimes it's 6 months, I'm like, oh my gosh, where's the time gone? It's time for me to revamp. But but in the cycle of that, you learn more about yourself, and you learn, you know, what did I learn in the last 6 months? What did I learn in the last 3 months? And what does that mean for my goals ongoing? Are they still my goals? And so, you know, I spend an entire chapter of the book asking reflective questions, so that at every turn, and you can spiral up instead of just spin your wheels. Because what we tend to do is we tend to go, well, I'm going to try it this way. I'm going to try it this way. And then we just go, well, I'm just going to go over here and try it this way. But we don't evaluate what happened that this didn't work over here. And so we just try something different. But if we can evaluate that and figure out what worked really, really well there and what didn't, now we can tweak it and we don't have to reinvent the wheel over here or just go, oh, well, you know, if Tim Ferriss does it this way, that's why I'm going to do it. Or if, you know, Grant Cardone does it this way, even though your personality and your strengths are nothing like Grant Cardone's, well, then it's probably not going to work, but you're going to try it anyway. You're going to fail and you're going to feel like a failure because it worked for him. It didn't work for me. So really understanding what does it take to actually make a plan that is aligned with me and that will actually help me play to my strengths. Because when you play to your strengths, that's where the joy comes.
Wow. Well, you know, that's one of the things that most people don't ever think about is, you know, how important it is to make the right decisions when you're deciding on whatever you're doing, from being a coach to, you know, like you're saying, writing a book and not to give up. And I admire you because no matter what, being a mom, doing all these things, being involved in gymnastics, because it takes a lot of work to be involved in gymnastics. It's not it's not one of those things that you just do and, you know, whatever. No, you really have to really get involved. And I think you probably got some of that enthusiasm because gymnastics is very competitive, you know, and that enthusiasm. But what made you change from being in health and, you know, dietitian and all this to doing this? You love this more than you did the other job?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because when I was creating my coaching business, my coaching practice, the coach I was working with said, well, Alyssa, why are you struggling with the name of your business? Why are you going to let that hold you back? And I said, because I have to have a name. Like I got to be able to call it something. And he's like, do you need me to tell you what the name of your business is? So I was like, just give me an easy one. Yes. Just tell me what it should be named. He's like, it's you. And I thought, Alyssa Nelson, like Nelson Coaching, like that's boring. That's vanilla. That's, you know, Minnesotan, which I am totally a proud Minnesotan. But then in the next breath, I was like, but this is what I was put on this earth to do. And then it came to me that who I was born was Alyssa Dare. And ironically, when I got remarried, I took back that identity. I took back my maiden name as a legal part of my name to sort of reengage that initial identity. And so Dare, that's how Dare Success Coaching was born, is that literally I was put on this earth to do it. And I was Alyssa Dare when I was put on this earth. But that journey through all of that, and no education is ever lost. I was a dietitian, registered dietitian, 4-year degree, and all of the internships that went along with it, and the tests and the certifications and the registrations and all of that. And then went back and did the same thing for nursing. And now, you know, I have people, my nursing friends especially, were like, well, what are you doing? How can you leave what you worked so hard for? And the answer is, I don't ever waste my education. I can still take that with me. And what's beautiful is I can actually help my clients who may have some medical things. Now, I don't give medical advice, but if they're like, oh, my blood pressure is high. Okay, well, I can actually use my nursing skill. Mm-hmm. And my nutrition skill to give some additional guidance there that I wouldn't have if I wasn't who I am, right? If I didn't have that education. And one of the most poignant places that this has actually shown up for me is a little over 2 years ago, my oldest daughter was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, mm-hmm. which is an autoimmune disease. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what you need for background there is nutrition mm-hmm. and nursing. Wow. And I had both of those things. And it was one of those moments where, you know, for most parents who get this diagnosis for their child, and it is really scary. Your kid is usually so sick when you get diagnosed and all of these things. There was a peace because I knew that I had the background to handle this. Whereas most parents are like, I have no idea. They're so ill-equipped. And they get like, you know, like garden hose or a fire hose of education those couple days that they're in the hospital. And I could actually process that. And I thought, mm-hmm. what a blessing that I have this background that I'm not technically using, but that I get to use. So you just never know what your life experience, what your education will bring to you in a positive way.
And to another client, you know, clients that may come up with a certain issues and certain things because some people don't know. And that message is so important nowadays. I'm really into health and wellness a lot mm-hmm. because it's so important, you know, to let people know, you know, to really educate people. Because unfortunately, a lot of people are not educated in a lot of things when it comes to their health and how to prevent yeah. certain things. Because right. like, for example, now that you share that, what about your daughter? I mean, you know, is it, you know, a lot of people don't know, is it hereditary? Did she yeah. develop it because of her nutrition? Were there certain foods that created this problem right. for her?
Or were you a bad parent? You just gave her too much sugar. I've gotten that before. And it's like, well, wait a second. It's actually an autoimmune condition. And, you know, so I take the opportunity to educate people instead exactly. of get so angry. It's okay. They just don't know. And the truth of the matter is that there's so much information out there mm-hmm. that it really is, even for the most educated of people, to sift through what is true, what's not, you know, was this study, you know, paid for, you know, bought by the people, like the results, right? Did, you know, is it a legitimate yes. study? Is it not? Yes. And most people are going to look to a news article to evaluate that study versus go read it. And so to find the real information takes a lot of work. And there's all this emerging science that's coming out about how our bodies work. And so honestly, what I learned when I was in school a long time ago to become a dietitian, a lot of that actually isn't true anymore. Okay. And it's not because I was fed lies, but it's because we know more now. Mm-hmm. So that continual learning with yeah. health and wellness is also mm-hmm. super, super yeah. important.
Because there's more research now, Alisa. There's more things coming out, Alisa, and that's what's happening. You know, now we have Google and we can Google anything and find out information more depth. Right. But right. changing the subject, you don't believe in the notion of work-life balance. Can you explain why?
Especially for people who work out of their homes, okay. You know, things don't really separate. So what I do believe in is work-life harmony. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even if I am out of the office at a corporate job, for instance, I'm still a mom. right? Mm-hmm. I don't get to just check that at the door and be like, ah, not a mom right now. I'm a worker. I'm a manager. I'm a supervisor. I'm a CEO. I don't get to check that at the door. I still own all of those roles, even if my focus is in the boardroom, or even if my focus is with a client, or even if my focus is with a child, right? So no matter what, all of those instruments are playing. And if we can get them to play the same tune, now it's beautiful music versus mm-hmm. I'm going to close the door here and now I'm going to be mom over here and I'm going to be right. So the balance idea forces us to compartmentalize everything, and the harmony allows us the space to be all of those things. Right. Women have a difficult time in the boardroom because they feel like they have to show up and be like tough and masculine. And that's changing, which is beautiful, but it still feels that way. And if a woman can actually show up and go, you know, this decision that we're making in the boardroom, I'm affected because I'm a mom. And so this is what's playing, so part of what's playing into my, how I'm feeling about this decision. If we can bring all of who we are into the spaces that we're in, no matter what primary hat we're wearing, now we've got harmony, and harmony is beautiful.
That's great. That's great. I think, it's so important for people to realize that you can balance life, and it really starts with you. It starts with the person. You know, even people that work in the corporate world, you know, that are always busy and crazy. Sometimes you have to realize, you know, that you have to stop and say, you know what, I need to balance my life. Life cannot be about you know, the exterior. Sometimes you have to look at the inside. You know, let's think about Steve Jobs, who said in his dying bed, what did he say? He said, you know, the things that he regretted. It's like what you're talking about, you know, is that balance that you give, to give the harmony into your life, you know. And, you know, you have one of the things that I wanted you to share with us. What are the four exercises that can help someone articulate what sets themselves apart from anyone else?
Yeah, I love this. And okay, so I'm going to set this up because this is the thing that really I get crazy excited about. So bear with me.
Okay.
So when you do these exercises, what you will find is that there is irrefutable evidence, like on paper in black and white, that not only are you one of 7 billion or 7.5 billion people that are walking this earth right now, you are the only one that ever has been and the only one that ever will be, like truly, truly one of a kind. And like sit with that truth for just a moment. And now look at how you show up in the world. Are you shying away, or, you know, are you bringing everything that you are? So the four things are your values. So I lead people through a values exercise, as we talked about, that not only defines what your top 10 most important things are, but also in what order, right? Okay. What are the most important things to you that drive you, that really are the core of who you are, and put those in order. So what are your values? What are your life experiences? And I'm not talking about just the good ones. And I'm also not talking about just the bad ones. I'm talking about all of those life experiences. I was a gymnast. I was a dietitian, you know, and the experiences of being in the hospital setting, right? So all of those things. I was one of 7 children, you know, like that life experience is unique to me. And it drives your what, right? What you do in your life. Your values drive your why. Now you look at your education and really write it all down. All of it, all of your formal education, all of your informal education. And I include books that you've read, self-development or business books or other books that you've learned from in that category. What is the education? What certifications do you have? What courses did you go through? What weekend workshop did you do? Write it all down. All of that education makes you uniquely you and also drives your what, right? So we're educated with certain skills. It will be able to drive our what we do in our life. And then the fourth thing is that StrengthsFinder profile. Now there are personality profiles that are out there that are just like you can't even count them. There's so many. But what I love about the StrengthsFinder profile is that it's actually a psychometric, which means that it's repeatable. It means that it doesn't matter. It's not affected, statistically speaking, by your mood. And there's research. There's real research that went behind it. So you can take it and you can know that it's going to be legitimate with the responses, not just, well, I was in a bad mood that day, so that's why it showed up that way. And so again, what I like is all of the research, the 40 years of research that they put into it, but then it starts with what's right with you. And that is awesome. We can all pick out what we're not, but to be able to pick out what we are and what are our strengths, you put those four things together. Oh, and one last thing too, mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. the StrengthsFinder profile, just to have the same top five. Okay, and there's 34 defined strength themes, the same top five in the same order, you're already one in 33 million. Okay, that's not looking at all 34. And that's not, I mean, it's mind blowing the number of zeros that to have the same strengths profile as somebody else. So just with that one thing alone, you're incredibly unique. And you add those other three components to it and really dive into what makes you, what is your life experience, what is your education, what are your values, and now what are your themes, what are your strength themes? There's nobody else like you. And it's like in front of you in black and white. And how empowering and inspiring that can really be to almost compel you to show up in the world in a much different way, because there's no one else like you. Like if you're not going to show up as you, no one else is. So do it.
No, that's wonderful. Well, one of the you know, you said that your favorite topics was you know, finding love again after divorce. Mm-hmm. As far as our audiences, you know, because there's a lot of women out there that have been divorced and then they're having a hard time finding love. So what can you share with them that will boost their enthusiasm to find new love again? Because it's not that easy.
No, nowadays. It's not. It's not. And, you know, I will say one of the things that I didn't realize I was even doing in the moment, but I'm so grateful that I did, mm-hmm. was I took 100% responsibility for my divorce. Mm-hmm. And you know, we could hash that out and I could tell you lots of stories, right? Mm-hmm. But if I take 100% responsibility for that, then what it means is I can change and grow who I am and learn the lessons I needed to learn so that I didn't get into that situation again in that type of relationship. And I think that this applies also to even things like adultery, for instance. You know, your husband cheats on you. Now, I am not saying in any way, shape, or form that you are at fault for his behavior, but could you have seen the signs earlier? Mm-hmm. Could you have connected mm-hmm. in a different way? Mm-hmm. And mind you, I'm also not saying, like, if he's a narcissist, like, you know, that's diagnosable, right? So there's like mental health issues there that could be there, et cetera. But if you choose to be the best you and to heal you and to grow into your best you, now you're better equipped to actually show up in the next relationship in a way that is amazing and that empowers you. The second thing I would say is look beyond the exterior, right? Look beyond the pretty face. You know, how does he treat? And of course, I'm speaking to people who are dating men now, right? But how does he treat his mother? How does he treat his friends? You know, because that will largely, you know, be how he treats you. You know, look for those things as to, you know, what his love language is. I'm a huge fan of the love languages. But it was not easy. And in large part because I needed to figure out who I was. So if you become your best you, now suddenly you'll begin to attract the right types of men that will actually compliment you.
Well, that's your next book. You need to write a book about
I'm actually going to be starting a podcast on awesome marriages. So stay tuned for that.
Yes, I have to stay tuned because you know what? I am so in agreement with you. I am so in agreement with you because I think, first of all, depends on your emotional issues that you've had. Because a divorce doesn't come because one person had, it was all at fault. I think it takes two, like they say, it takes two to tango. And sometimes women also carry certain emotions that go into the marriage, and then men also carry certain emotions that go into the marriage, and then all of a sudden they kind of connect, and then it's a disaster, you know? Right. And so one of the things, I'm divorced too, and I haven't found love yet, but I'm looking for it. But you know what? It took me a while to heal. You know, I had to heal first. And like you said, and I am totally in agreement with you, you have to first find yourself before you can find love again. And you mentioned something right now when we were talking about the love language. What do you mean by that? I need tips.
Yeah. Oh, there is this book called The Five Love Languages. Okay. And it is amazing. And what it talks about is how we feel, how we interpret love. So like the love languages, literally, if I was speaking French to you and you didn't speak French, you wouldn't know that I was saying, I love you and I think you're great and you're wonderful. You just kind of look at me like, huh? Right? Because you wouldn't understand the words. Mm-hmm. And how we hear love, how we feel love is just like that. So there's five different love languages. There's words of affirmation. There's a quality time. There's gifts. There's acts of service, and there is, what's the next one?
Oh, I like that. I like those. I really am going to write them down.
Yeah. Oh, and physical touch. And physical touch is the fifth one. So for me, my primary love language is words of affirmation. I need to hear, I love you. That's something I need from my husband. Now, my husband's primary love language is acts of service. So he says, I love you by bringing me coffee while I'm in the shower. And so when I get out of the shower, I have a hot cup of coffee sitting on the counter, right? So now that I can speak his language a little better and he can speak mine, I now go do things for him to show him I love him. So I'm speaking his language and he verbalizes, hey, I love you. And that helps him to speak my language, right? So we make a concerted effort on a daily basis, which is the work of marriage, to honor each other and to speak the other's language in that day, not just date night on Friday night, right? I don't believe that a once a week date night is enough. I think it needs to be daily, on a daily basis. What can I do to make your day better? Really coming from that servant heart and not subservient. There's a difference, right? So wives, you are not expected to, you know, shine their shoes every morning and do that unless that's something that you know will just blow his mind and be like, wow, that's amazing. Not subservient, but that if you're both serving each other, wow. I mean, your love literally grows day in, day out. And, you know, my husband and I are now 4 years into our marriage. And for some people are like, oh yeah, just wait for seven. Well, you know, I got to seven before, and trust me, year four didn't look like year four now.
Exactly.
There's some looks that took place there. But I literally love my husband more every single day. And every single day I think it's not even possible that I could love him more. And yet the next day I love him even more. And so, and that's because it's work every day. How can I serve you? How can I honor you? And he's doing the very same thing for me. And it's amazing. It really truly is bliss. Now, not to say we don't have disagreements. Everyone does. But those disagreements are also, dealt with in a respectful manner. We don't yell because we're having a conversation. I don't see it the way you do, and you don't see it the way I do. Okay, cool. Let's talk it out. And so it really is, but again, I could never have done that had I not done the self-work first, and I couldn't have stood on my own two feet first.
Wow, that's wonderful. I love that. I love that topic. You did such a good job with that. I can't wait till you bring the book out.
Oh my goodness. I am so passionate about healthy marriage after being not through a healthy marriage and one that sort of died on the vine. And you know, the one I'm in now, I mean, it's just night and day difference. And if I can encourage people and inspire people to walk towards that even. And I'm not saying, you know, ideal or anything. And I'm not touting that I'm perfect or that our marriage is perfect because we're human and thank God we're not perfect because that would be boring. boring. Mm-hmm. But man, you know, if we could decrease the divorce rate in this country just a little bit, I think it'd be amazing.
But I think it all starts from the beginning, is making the right choice, not making the right choice. I think it's knowing what you're getting into. Most people don't, it's like, you don't get it. It's like parenting. You know, I know that's one of your other strong topics. It's like, you have to really, really, especially young people, I hope you agree with me. You have to educate yourself. And we don't go into that previous education about love and marriage and read books about it. And, you know, read books about parenting, because that's what's going to take you to a successful marriage. And probably you wouldn't get into divorce. I know for you, it's really important faith. You have a strong faith, a belief in God. Tell me a little bit about that relationship that you have. Does your husband also the same way as you? Tell me if that's true. Because a lot of people say that that's very important. It's a strong connection. When you have that, not religious, but it's your faith that makes things better.
Yes, and I draw a very distinct difference between religion and faith. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I have a very deep faith that there is a very, very, very big God up there. It's so big that I don't think religion actually matters very much, mm-hmm. because I think that the big power up there can mm-hmm. see to our very deepest core and mm-hmm. can get beyond our brains, right? So religion was born out of people trying to just make sense of this massive higher power, right? And so it makes sense as to why people did it, because they just needed to make sense of it. But now my question is always, okay, God, how big are you? Mm-hmm. And when we can think about God in this expansive way, now I think I feel more connected to God, even though I haven't been to church in a long time, yeah. than I ever have, because I feel that connection with this amazing higher power. And you know, I say I have a deep faith with Christian leanings. Mm-hmm. But I also, again, think that if you were born in, you know, in Afghanistan and brought up in a Muslim home, and those were the beliefs you were taught right here in our brains, I do believe God is big enough to look past that and go, well, what is your core? Is your heart to serve? Is your heart to be connected? Is your heart to you know, sort of, for lack of a better term, because, you know, a Muslim child may or may not know who Jesus was, but be Jesus' hands and feet on earth. You know, is that what your heart was to do? And then I think that God can look beyond, you know, what your teachings were, because he's bigger than that. So that's where my faith is. And that's really what I teach my children is, well, let's just think about how big he is. You know, what are the possibilities, and expand our minds. And I'm not saying that, you know, everything that you need to accept, because you certainly have frameworks for how you believe and how you understand. But I just really, on a daily basis, just try to expand that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful. I think that's so important. I think the job that you do, it requires for people to really be connected to the divine, because you're mm-hmm. dealing with people constantly, you know, yeah. and you're coaching them to a better lifestyle or better life, and right. and they need that help, and there's so many people out there that need someone like you that can actually guide them, you know, because I think to me, this is what I believe that coaches really actually do, and they're, you know, like this interview that we're doing, and I'm sure your podcast, which I'm hoping you talk to us about those as well. You know, and your speaking engagements, that is all a part of learning, a part of growing. And I think it's so important nowadays, and I'm so grateful that we do have you guys out there that we can look into once in a while. I've you know, knock on several doors on some people that are out there on YouTube talking, and you know, you learn so much from them. You don't know how much you're touching people. I mean, and I commend you, because you know, not everybody does it, and not everybody, you know, has the expertise or the talent or the gift to do it, you know. But nevertheless, your podcast, tell me a little bit about your podcast.
Yeah. So my podcast currently is based on the StrengthsFinder 2.0 profile, but the application of it. So as you have been hearing, the StrengthsFinder is only part of what I do. But that was one of the things that I was like, wow, this person took it and they thought it was like a, almost like a, they read it like a horoscope. Like, yep, that's cool. You know, just like when you read the Sunday horoscope, and you're like, don't go out on Tuesday. And they're like, well, I better stay in, right? That's how they were reading their StrengthsFinder profile. And if they really understand this, you know, one in 33 million thing and understand how to apply it, wow, the transformation that can occur. And so that's why I started my podcast. Now, you know, after being a more seasoned podcaster, I'm secret here that I shouldn't be telling people, but this is my activator that just has to share because I'm so excited. Okay. I am going to be launching some more podcasts. And so there's one that's going to be specifically for entrepreneurs, and we can talk about how to use your strengths and leverage your strengths in the business world. One for marriages and one for parenting, because you know that I'm passionate about all three of these things. And that way I can sort of speak directly to those audiences. And I'm really, really thrilled about that. The timeline isn't tied up with a nice little bow on those, because having one podcast is a lot of work. Having three is a really lot of work, but I'm really passionate about it. I'm really excited about where that's going to go. So the StrengthsFinder 2.0 on the Maximize Your Strengths podcast, we talk about the guests' strength themes and how those show up and how they can leverage those and how they can uniquely serve their clients, their customers, because of the strengths that they have. So it's a really unique podcast in that a lot of it is stories, but it resonates with people listening because they're like, oh, I have that. Yeah, I have that special thing to offer too. And so that I love that. And then I also created in the podcast, a series on each of the individual strength themes. Cause again, there's 34 of them. So it's hard to know them all. And so if someone has, let's say activator, as I just mentioned, I have, they can listen to the episode that's all about activator and they can understand that theme and how to apply it in their own life. So it's a really great resource for anybody of the 17.5 million people who have taken the StrengthsFinder profile that want to understand how to make it transformational instead of just a cool profile.
Is there like a cost for that, or do you, I mean, how does it work? How does it all, you know, get going?
Great question. So the profile itself to take the test costs $20. So you go to Gallup's website. I am not an affiliate. They don't offer that for any of their coaches, and that's okay because now they know that I'm truly sending people there because it there's not a financial benefit to me, and that's cool. So you go to the Gallup website, you pay $20 and you take this timed profile. Now there's 177 questions. Don't get scared. It's not as bad as you might think. And they're all timed. So you get 20 seconds to answer each one. Most people get through the profile in about 30 minutes. And at the end of that 30 minutes, you have your results. So there is the option to unlock 6 through 34. And so you have basically your whole deck to work with, right? I don't encourage that people start that way because it's so much information. So I encourage people to just do the top five. It doesn't cost any more to do your five and then unlock 6 through 34 as it does to do it all at once. So there's no reason to do them all at once. Just do your top five. Now, for my one-on-one intensive clients, we do all 34 out of the gate because I'm there to guide them through it, right? But for people who are taking it on their own, take your top five, get your results, go listen to those all about episodes that I was just sharing, and listen to, you know, how it applies. Really, really begin to embrace those top five, which are your easy buttons. I literally have.
You do?
I have an easy button.
Oh, okay. That's great.
Because I explain your top five as your easy button so often that you know, when you don't know what else to do, you hit your easy button, right? And then if you're triggered or you're frustrated or you're stuck, what do? Is you hit that easy button even more. And now it becomes an overuse, an ugly expression of that amazing strength theme, right? So too much of a good thing can actually be a negative thing if it's coming out sideways. And that's where the application of it is so great, because I have had people take the profile and go, oh gosh, that command, I don't like that. And people have been telling me my whole life that I'm bossy and I don't want that. And they almost reject it. But when it's optimized, mm-hmm. when command is beautiful, it can help, you know, a room full of people make a decision. And Claudia, have you ever been in a boardroom or in a room of people who cannot make a decision, whether that's about dinner or whether that's about like $1 million budget, right?
Yes, yes.
It's incredibly difficult and challenging. And that command can step in and say, hey guys, this is what I think we need to do here, right? And can help to make that decision. And that's someone you want in the room. So command is a gift, right? But mm-hmm. if it's not cultivated and if it's not grown, then it can look like bossy, right? Mm-hmm. So it can look ugly. And we get all of these things are hardwired from birth. And so when we're small children and some little girl who has command is told she's bossy, mm-hmm. what does she internalize? Well, that's a bad part of me. So she mm-hmm. tries to shut it down.
Okay.
So she's not bossy, right? And so now her easy button, she's refusing to use. And now it's an underuse, right? So it's all about optimizing the themes and the strengths that you have in order to truly make them strengths and not just easy buttons.
Okay. So that in order for you to find out, you need to take the test. So that way, you know where your strengths are and that you're not using them properly. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. So I actually mm-hmm. created a short link from my website, because the Gallup website is a little bit difficult to navigate mm-hmm. And the website. So if they go to daretosucceed.com/profile. So it's daretosucceed.com/profile. It will take them to the Gallup website. Like I said, I'm not an affiliate. It's just an easier link I found to be able to lead people to directly to the Gallup website where they can take that profile.
Okay. So in order for you to also find your podcast is strengthspodcast.com.
Yeah. strengthspodcast.com, which will actually take you directly to my podcast page on my website. Okay. So if you can't remember any of that, just go to daretosucceed.com and you'll find it right there as mm-hmm. well.
What about your speaking engagements? You have a lot of those. You love those.
I'm sure. Being on a stage. It is my favorite thing. I was just out in San Diego mm-hmm. last weekend on a really unique conference where we were all panelists. So mm-hmm. I was never on the stage by myself. But that was really neat where you get to express that way. Just prior to that, I was out at Podcast Movement, involved in a workshop on the stage there. I get to keynote next weekend out in Denver for an organization called Polkadot Powerhouse, which is a women's entrepreneurial empowerment community. So that'll be really, really fun. And then I do keynotes in the way of training. So I was just approached actually today by a woman who has a team of 30,000 in a direct sales company. And she wants me to speak to them. So we'll do that via webinar, but we'll do that training that way. So I can also speak in that way. I speak to organizations, and that's my primary, but as much as I can get it out, I will speak anywhere from, rooms of 20 to rooms of, 400 or 500, the rooms of 20 sometimes can't afford me,
yeah.
but I'm always looking for the win. So like how can we make this work? I love being on a stage and, engaging people and just have seeing that light go on in their eyes when you say something that's like, I had never thought about it that before. And now I can sit up a little taller. I can be a little more proud of who I am. And in doing so, now I don't have to, put anybody else down. I don't have to be jealous of anybody. I don't have to judge anybody else. I can just be curious because I know I'm amazing. And I also know that there's things that I don't have that I can welcome other people into my world that do have those things. And it's just like to see that click in someone's eyes. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it.
Wow. Well, I'm so happy that you join us today. I wish you much more success than you already have, Alisa, and that I hope that you continue with what you're doing because you're doing a great job. And I just hope that you can, you know, you can definitely, you know, reach all the people that you want to reach and you continue with your success and keep going because really you're doing a great job. I really loved the interview you gave us today. I think people are going to learn a lot from you and definitely, you know, hopefully you watch us. You can check out our website as well and watch yourself and myself during this, this interview. Thank you so much for joining us.
You know, Claudia, on the topic of getting my word out, this is really the heart behind this gift. I would love to give your audience, the PDF version, the online version of my book. And that's not because it's not a valuable book. Cause I truly believe it is. But it's because I want to get it into as many hands as possible. So would it be okay if I gifted your audience with.
Sure, definitely. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Alice. And thank you so much for joining us. Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give them a short link, and they can go there and they can get the book and I'll send it directly to their inbox. And then they'll have it and they can read it. And if they want to go buy it on Amazon for their Kindle or for paperback, they can also do that. But if they go to, daretosucceed.com/believe.
Okay.
They will be able to get their own copy of the book. So daire2succeed.com/believe, just like believe would be spelled, right?
Yes.
And they can get their version. And I would love for them to have that and then reach out and tell me what you think.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us, Alice. And I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful, most successful life with what you're doing. And I thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Claudia. I really appreciated being here.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.